The third indication of beyond standard model physics after neutrino oscillations and cold dark matter. And this information is coming from the Heidelberg-Moscow experiment, which is now one of the long-running underground experiments. We run in Kranzanzo since 13 years now. Okay, the situation when we started our preparation was such that two neutrino decay was just discovered in non-geochemical experiment on a 2.2 sigma level. 35 events were found. 16 years later, we have for two neutrino decay of germanium 76, 160,000 events. That means improvement of sensitivity by a factor of 50,000. And this allowed us to see a first indication of neutrino-less decay on a level of 10 to 25 years with a confidence level of 4.2 sigma. Okay, what we look for is for a line at 2039 kV in our case, and it was mentioned yesterday already, independent of the process triggering neutrino-less double beta decay, if you see it, you have shown that the neutrino is a Majorana particle. Now, the observable of double beta decay is the effective mass. I don't go into details. It is connected with the observables of neutrino oscillation experiments. The point is that neutrino's double beta decay can fix the absolute scale of the mass spectrum. And if we use the information from neutrino oscillation experiments and estimate what we expect in different neutrino mass models for the effective mass, these are the blue bars, uncertainties are coming mainly from our limited knowledge of CP phases, then we get these blue bars, and I show you at this point the result of the experiment. We get an effective mass of 0.4 electron volts, the 3 sigma range is the pink one here, and this means that double beta decay requires degenerate neutrino masses. If we look into our result, which we had 3 years ago, then we had less statistics, then the allowed range was the pink one here, the big bar. Already then, we excluded from 14 at that time allowed neutrino mass models 10. Okay, if we compare the half-life we have of 10 to 25 years to other experiments, then the next sensitive bulk of experiments is sitting at around 10 to 24 years. DAMA is one of them, all others stopped. Then we have another class of experiments at 10 to 23 years. Coricino is one of them. That means already a factor of 100 less in sensitivity. Now to the experiment in my 5 minutes. Okay, let me show you this. Effective neutrino masses for all most sensitive double beta experiments. Heidelberg Moscow gives this range, the sigma range, and the pink bars are the limits from other experiments. Now, Heidelberg-Moscow, the experiment, we use enriched germanium 76, P-type germanium detectors, and the enrichment gives you the main contribution to sensitivity. The first detector was installed in Gran Sasso in 1990, and the full experiment runs since end of 1995. And why we have so much more sensitivity than other experiments? We have the largest source strength. Now Ettore has the same one, but he just starts and we finished 13 years of measurement. So lowest background in operation, we have 0.11 counts per kilogram of detector per year of measurement, an energy bin of 1 kV. Highest efficiency for detection of a double beta event, Ettore has the same, also 195%, but other detectors do not have. NEMO had 14%. Highest energy resolution, 3.5 kV, and we managed to have a high duty cycle. 80% of the time the experiment was installed, it really took data. And as a consequence, we have the highest collected statistics. Now it's 72 kilogram years, and since 10 years, we have the most sensitive double beta experiment worldwide, since 10 years. Now the experiment is sitting in Gran Sasso between Hall A and B here. This is our building. On the other side is the Genius test facility we have built up last year in May 2003, which once was built up by my group. and it runs the first 10 kilograms of naked germanium detectors in liquid nitrogen, operating stable since more than a year now. History of Heidelberg-Moscow experiment in pictures, installation of the last detectors in 95 here and here. And this setup was not opened since November 1995. So for 8 years, the setup was kept closed. This is very important to have a stable background condition. Here you see the configuration of the detectors inside the shielding. And here you see the present situation. The poor detectors are standing in some corner, now not used, waiting for their further political destiny. So the most sensitive, the most important block of data is the one from 1995 to 2003. Why? Because we have installed at 95 250 megahertz flash ADCs for measurement of pulse shapes of the four biggest detectors. Now, two of the most experimental parameters are background. I give you a feeling here for the development of this quantity in this column for the different detectors over time. And you see, we start already with nice values in the beginning, always in this unit here, and finally come back to the number I mentioned. Another point, energy resolution, I take three strong lines from the measured spectrum, which I'll show in a second. And you should keep in mind, these lines are superpositions, each of 10,000 individual runs, each run one day. And you see the result. Energy resolution, 3.3 kV for 2,200 kV, that's quite nice, over 10 years of measurement. Now, the measured spectrum. This is the low energy part until 1,600 kV. You see many lines coming from understood background. The origins of the background is given there, and this was investigated in much detail over the years. And we are looking in this range here for some signal from neutrinos double beta decay. Now let's look into some more detail into this region. This is the range between 2000 and 2060 kV. And you see several structures. You see lines on a level of about 4 sigma for at positions where you expect lines from the radioactive impurity from the natural decay chain, uranium-238, from bismuth-214, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then in addition, you see, as you want, yeah. Then you see a candidate for a line at 2030 kV. It could come from conversion of 214 bismuth. And you see a 4.2 sigma signal at Q beta beta. Okay, now then I will skip this. Okay, let me just say the fact, let me have a look into earlier experiments with germanium, natural germanium and germanium-76. This is the Caldwell experiment made 15 years ago. You see also here the bismuth lines, that's what I want to show you. But you see no signature at Q beta beta in all these experiments. And that is consistent with our result because our 29 events, which we see, correspond to about one event in these measurements. Okay, that shows nicely that some earlier criticism by some people discussing bismuth lines, can you see the bismuth lines or you cannot see them, is rejected even by the earlier measurements. So these statements were wrong. And this is true also for some other criticism, Rosen. Okay, now main point, we have to show that this line, which is not a normal gamma line, it is not a known gamma line that we can look from table of isotopes. But it could be an unknown line, of course. So we have to show that this is not a normal gamma line that we do by pulse shape analysis. So we select single site events as a double beta event should be, in contrast to multiple Compton scattered gammas, for example, which look like this. And we select also events mainly in the inner part of the detector, so using in somehow a fiducial volume of the detector, by choosing the corresponding pulse shapes. The shapes depend on the radius in the detector. This is known since 10 years and more for gamma spectroscopy people. Now we calibrate this pulse shape method, which we use with beta sources, which we put inside and outside the detectors, and with gamma sources, collimated sources. And then we apply this pulse shape filter. I come to the end, yes. And we get the following. The spectrum I showed before looks now like this. That means all the bismuth lines are reduced and the signal at Q beta beta remains. And if you look into the full spectrum, then you see the shape of the full spectrum is now similar to a two neutrino spectrum. The red line indicates a calculated two neutrino spectrum. And from this, we conclude that we really see double beta decay and neutrinoless but double beta decay in particular. And we translate the measured intensities into half-lives for neutrinos double beta decay. The full data set gives 1.2 times 10 to 25 years. And the effective mass you can deduce is 0.4 plus minus 0.07 electron volts. And if you look into partial data sets, you get essentially, I have no time for this, the same numbers. Okay, conclusion. Okay, you have to use a matrix element, as mentioned, of course, to come to an effective neutrino mass. What we used was the prediction we made 15 years ago for two neutrino decay of germanium-76. It is until now the most sharp prediction of a later measured double beta later measured double beta half-life. It underestimated the two neutrino matrix element, which was measured by 29%, so it may overestimate the neutrino mass up to 30%. Okay, consequences, lepton number is not conserved, neutrino is a Majorana particle, and neutrinos are degenerate. And you know certainly that there are many experiments in recent 2 years which seem to confirm a neutrino mass in the range found by the Heidelberg-Moscow experiment, namely neutrino oscillation experiments, Z-burst scenario for high-energy cosmic range, G-2, and theoretical work. Okay. Now, my last transparency. I think with the Heidelberg-Moscow experiment, the era of small, smart experiment is over, except maybe the nice Curicino. If you want to know the half-lives, which higher statistics, that means if you want to continue nuclear spectroscopy, looking for the half-life, then you have to go to huge setups, as you may hear in the next talk. But you have to keep in mind that in any case, because of the limited knowledge of the nuclear matrix elements, you always will remain with an uncertainty of neutrino properties, neutrino effective neutrino mass, and so on, of the order of about 50%. So thank you for your attention.
Okay, questions or comments?
Can you show again the spectrum in the region of interest, 2039, with the background? Yes.
This one?
Well, yes. So it's clear that it's normal to see bismuth lines and even a new line, which is unknown, just on the right of the expected two
once
electron
more.
Decay.
Let me finish, please.
I remember in the beginning of the experiment in 1995, Andreas Pipke presented such lines with the decay of a cosmogenic from the detectors just at the Q value of the double beta decay. And so, it's normal to see gamma lines, I mean. My comment is not on these gamma lines which we expect, but on the level of background. The background is at the level of 10 count per bean, which is rather high, but normal with the calorimeter. And this level of background means you have fluctuations in the background, of course, of square root of 10, more or less, and that means a few counts at 3 or 5, 6, and so. And so the fluctuation you see between the peaks is normal, but you don't see any fluctuation on the peak themselves. They are rather smooth and regular. And so this is my first interrogation, why they are so regular, and I don't understand that. Second, to fit the background of 10 counts per bean, you must find somewhere a flat region of background, because otherwise with so many peaks it's impossible to fit the background. And so I ask you, can you show us region of let us say 60 kV before and 60 kV after this region where the background is flat, and we can find really this level of 10 count per bean, because otherwise you fit the bottom of the valleys and you just get the fluctuation high with, and you think it speaks. So I want to see the background level somewhere else.
What you can do is you look into the full spectrum. Maybe this helps you.
No, because, I made a zoom in my lab with your article, and the level of background is not so, it's not at the same level, it's not the same meaning, it's not exactly the same analysis, and it's difficult to say the level of background is correctly estimated. And so the background could be 20% more than 10, and if it's 12, that changes the confidence level from 4 sigmas, as you say, to 2 or 2.5 sigmas, but so it doesn't keep the level of the confidence level you get.
You want less sigma. Okay, but it's difficult to make. You see, because what we do here is a fit, simultaneous fit, of the range 2000 to 2060. And the program which we use finds the position of the lines, it finds the intensity of the lines, and it finds the absolute value of this background. So it is not in our hands to give you another result.
Other comments?
If we remain with the data.
Yeah. Other comments or questions?
Yeah. I would like to show the one transparency.
Okay.
Exactly the question was, which was before.
Maybe you work together.
Find the right one.
You use more time than I had for my talk. Yeah, sorry.
This is a zoom of this region, which you show us before. Right. So it looks exactly, not exactly the same as this, your next figure. And
but very similar, yes?
Not very similar. If you look on the binning, it is not exactly the same counting.
It is another binning, yes.
Right. Yeah, at next question, counting rate here is 20% lower than in your next figure.
No, that is right. This I can answer, because this figure which you use is the data collected between 1995 and 2003.
No.
Yes.
Oh, it's written in your paper.
Yes, that is a misprint, but this is true.
So it's mistaken in physics letters paper, yeah?
It's a misprint in the paper. It is 1995 to 2003, and then it's perfect.
Other questions or comments?
In your recent papers, you said that a criticism of your results by the Russian part of the collaboration was based on the corrupted data. Could you please explain in what sense the data was corrupted and how it happened that the corrupted data went to the Russian part of the collaboration?
You see, the situation is such, I will find some nice paper for you. The situation is such, our Russian colleagues had the same data as we have. They have the data until 2001, because then they went out of the collaboration. They had a direct line from Gran-Sasso to Moscow, but that is all what we know. What they then did with the data, I cannot tell you. If we look into the paper which you mentioned, then you see they do not show, first, I should say, responsible for the analysis of the data over these 13 years of experiment was always Heidelberg-Moscow part of the collaboration. So this was their first effort to make an analysis of the data. And, well, let me see. So the main point, first, if you look into their paper, you see they do not show a spectrum where you see any line. I don't know how you can make that. They do not show any statistical analysis of the data. They show, and that is their problem, they see so-called, what they call, sub-threshold events. That means they say they find events below the detector threshold. And that makes them somehow nervous. But if you look into our threshold behavior, here shown for detector 4 and 5, which were the most critical in their preprint, which was not published, then you see we have no such events below the threshold. They also claim they see some artificial, they call it artificial line at 545 keV. I show you here the spectrum for each individual detector from our analysis. There is no indication of anything at that energy. So you should discuss with them about the reasons for what they claim.
Okay, we'll take one final question back there.
I'm not an expert in this field, but I have to say, looking at this data, that this is completely unacceptable. You show us a spectrum with events making claims that are enormous claims for physics.
Right.
And the analysis is completely trivial. Where are the Monte Carlos that show generation of these events and showing the probability of generation of these peaks? You have a peak there that's not fit. We don't understand the backgrounds. This just doesn't make sense. I think someone has to say this. This is nonsense.
You make it rather simple for yourself. You give me 10 minutes. I can show you 2 more hours of details, all your Monte Carlo calculations you want to see. All Monte Carlo simulations of the background, which reproduce quantitatively what we see in the experiment to this address also. And of course, you are right. The experiment is in principle trivial. That is the big advantage of this experiment. We do not subtract any background. We measure a spectrum as a nuclear spectroscopy in a student's first year of students at university. But you have, before you come to such results, take care that your background is incredibly small. It is the best in this type of experiment, germanium bolometers, which we have. and you have to run this experiment for 10 or 15 years. This is not trivial. After you manage this, you have one spectrum and you go like a student and fit a range of 60 kV and you have your result. That is first point. Second, you have to show that this line is not a gamma line. And this we have also done. By looking for pulse shape analysis, we show this line does not behave as a gamma line. So, and therefore we come to this result, whether you like it or not.
Okay, on that note, we'll go on to the next talk. Thank you very much.